Okay, so hello everyone and welcome to our group mentoring call for the Thriving Yoga Teacher Program. This is our first module on Goddess Kali, Claim Your Power and, Goddess Durga, Claim Your Power and Passion with Goddess Durga. So we had our training call last week and now we're going to be having our group mentoring call, and we've had three wonderful questions posted on the forum. We're definitely going to get to those questions. And then I'm going to be taking questions from those of you who are live on the call. And also we have the webcast. I do recommend, if at all possible, to come on the phone during the group mentoring call so that I can talk to you and we can get immediate feedback. If I make a suggestion, then I can ask you, does that work for you? How does that sound? How do you feel about that? Are you comfortable trying that? And we can get immediate feedback if what I'm saying is helpful, and if not, we can fine-tune for you. So if possible, if you can call in on the phone, and the number to call in on the phone was in the email you got from Liz this morning and was also on the Ning site. But we do have, I know some of you need to call in on the webcast if you're in another country or, you know, something like that. We have someone calling from on the webcast from Copenhagen today, and somebody's already posted a great question on the webcast. We will definitely get to that today. So the training calls are really to cover the material, and the mentoring calls are for you to ask questions and get support and feedback. I just want to go over a few announcements before we get right into the questions and the answers. I want to just, again, bring your attention to the forum, the Thriving Yoga Teacher Discussion Forum online, because this is such a powerful tool for you. I don't want you guys to miss this. So some of you are already getting on there. You're posting your introductions. You are responding to each other's introductions. Thank you so much for practicing this good forum karma of responding to other people when you post. And some of you are posting really great questions and following up to questions that others have asked you or that I have asked you. You can also go on there and post a piece of your homework and get feedback. So you can say, here's the niche I'm working on, or here's a flyer that I'm working on. And you can put in the title of your post, feedback requested. So a lot of you have figured out how to do this, but I just want to draw your attention on the forum. You go to the forum tab, there's all discussions that would give you the list of all the discussions. My discussions is any discussion that you posted or have posted on. And then there's a button over to the right that says add. This is where you can add a new discussion, or at the bottom it says add reply. Also at the bottom, something to know about is you can change your settings for how often it notifies you. So at the bottom, you can change the follow button to email you when someone replies. Like if you put a post, at the bottom of your post, you can change the settings if you want to get an email when someone replies or if you don't want to get an email when someone replies. Okay, so that's a good thing to know, because the way it's set will affect how many emails you get, and some people really want to know when someone has replied, and some people don't. So you can set that the way you want it. The interviews, the case study interviews, I want to just tell you folks, there's a lot of really good stuff in here. And I just did the interview this morning with Maggie Skye, so that will be going up pretty quickly today. You'll see that up there. And it was a powerful interview. All of these interviews have great content in them, great tips. And the thing that I'm noticing is the common thread is that each of the people, each of the women in these interviews have been just so willing to get out there. They have been, in a way, relentless marketers, but always with heart, always with passion. So I think what you're going to see is that the four modules we have in this program totally relate to each of the interviews. You're going to see that Goddess Durga quality in each of them, that they have been this warrior goddess for their work, this warrior goddess for yoga and for the teaching and the specific area of passion that they each have and wanting to get it out there. So don't miss those interviews. And they really are working very well as Lakshmi, of just kind of resonating everything they do with this vibration of love and generosity and abundance. They're giving in abundance, and they're also receiving in abundance into their business. And I think you'll see that in the interviews. under the course materials page, on the forum, I want to really emphasize the Radiant Yoga Teacher Retreat. There is a button there for you to register your bonus ticket. Okay? So I really want to encourage you to register your ticket and get your arrangements. You're going to fly into Jacksonville, and we're going to be in St. Augustine, which is about 1 hour from Jacksonville. It is a beautiful time of year. This is just like primo weather for Florida. But the real reason to come is because we're going to enjoy together our yoga. You're going to be with other powerful women yoga teachers who are working just like you to claim their passion and to release the fears and doubts that have been holding them back, to get in touch with that deep river, that Saraswati clarity, creativity that nourishes all of your program offerings, and get out in a bigger world with Lakshmi, with that generosity. And we're going to do this very specifically together. We're going to laugh and play and dance and do yoga. We're going to have yoga one morning at the beach. And we're going to get down to some real serious work together, because I'm a pretty hard worker, and I get very enthusiastic about this. I get very enthusiastic about helping yoga teachers and helping you succeed and getting in there with ideas and teaching you a lot of content. And there will be some overlap with this and some things that are really different than what we're covering in this course that you will not want to miss. So please, and I'll be telling you about some of those as we go through the training, but please, please sign up. You do have a free ticket. It comes with your registration for the Thriving Yoga Teacher Program. However, you have to register that ticket, okay? Because we don't want to save your space if you're not definitely coming. So the way that works is you click on this link that's on the course materials page where it says click here at the top under the Radiant Yoga Teacher Retreat. You click on that, and there's a page where you can put down a $97 no-show deposit. Okay, and the moment that you walk into the retreat room, when we start our retreat, you will get $97 back. We will hand you a check for that, okay? And this is not a money-making deal on our part, okay? It costs us in administration. It costs us in actually the fees through PayPal. But it's simply our way of making sure that we really do know who's coming. So thank you for that. And do register your ticket and get your plane flying. Okay, let's go to the questions. I want to start with some of the amazing questions. Let me just make sure. Yeah, I think that's all that I wanted to cover for announcements. So, okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 of you live right now, and on the webcast we have 3. Okay, if you know that you have a question you would like to ask today, just so I can get an idea of how many people would like to ask a question, would you raise your hand? The way you do that is you press star 2. You press star 2 to raise your hand. Okay, I'm seeing 3 hands, 4 hands, 5 hands, 6 hands. Okay. That just kind of gives me an idea. So keep your hands up. Those of you who have raised them, go ahead and keep your hands up. And I'm going to go over to the, because you'll stay in order that you raised your hand. Okay. I'm going to go over to the course, to the forum. There were some people who said they had a question and they needed to leave at the beginning. Questions for mentoring session. Oh, and some people have just posted here. Okay, Julie Norman said, I will only be able to be on part of the call on Monday, and she has a question. Julie, if you have a, if you're on the call now, go ahead and raise your hand. And Audra is interested in this question. We'll discuss that. Okay, Pam, who said she would be on the call. Mary has a great question. Kelly just posted. And Audra. Okay, this was about the retreat. Since we just mentioned the retreat, I'm going to respond to this now. Logistical question. I've reserved my ticket. Do I need to go in and register for the workshop on the Discovery site? No. You do not need to go in and register on the Discovery site. We will do that for you. And also, if anyone is interested, there's a wonderful yoga dance workshop the 2 days before the Radiant Teacher Training. Still plenty of spots open as of this morning. Yes, Audra, you're right. It's yoga dance with... Mega Nancy Bootenheim. I'm actually taking it. Yeah, no accommodation available at the center, but there are plenty of spaces nearby. Yes, and Audra's happy to answer your questions. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go here, and I'm assuming, and Liz, would you come on and correct me if I'm wrong in between the first and the second question, that when people raise their hand, that number one is the first person to have raised her hand. Let me know if I'm wrong about that. So I'm going to start with Anonymous. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, who's this?
Hi, this is Gretchen.
Hi, Gretchen. Good to hear you. How can I help you?
Okay, good. Okay, well, one main reason why I came into this course is because I've just made a big leap and opened up my own yoga studio.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and I had heard you in another teleclass before this, and I just felt like you had said some key things that I appreciated, and it kind of just led me to this class. And basically, you know, what you had said was exactly what I've been doing just for years and years and years. I've just been teaching like 14 classes a week and just taking on as much as I possibly can to be able to meet my needs, you know, financially.
Yeah.
And now I have a one-year-old daughter, so that's been put into the mix too. And also, I went to school for biology, and my other kind of passion with all this is environmental education. So I've been leading some retreats in Nicaragua, and I have goals for more. And that's been a way for me to make a little extra money and just combine the two things that I really, really love and make it all come together.
Yes.
But as for my yoga studio, I'm just doing as much as I can to come up with little workshops, and I'm doing like a day of unplugging, which is a whole day of events that connects the two. And just my number one passion, like when filling out this journaling stuff, is to just raise awareness in both directions. And I just think raising awareness in general is going to help us be conscious in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, you know, I feel like I am known on this little island. I live in Key West, so word gets around quickly. I am known for private. So I'm just finding that I don't have enough time in the day with a daughter and running a studio to take on all the privates, but that is where the good money is. And my heart is really trying to be creative to come up with more of these, like, events and stuff. So
okay.
I just feel a little bit torn as to where I should put all my energy right now.
I hear you. I really, really hear you. Okay, Gretchen. First of all, so, you know, I totally hear you that your passion is in the environmentalism. I totally hear you that you're recognizing that you've been too thin by teaching so many yoga classes, and in a way, opening a studio at the same time you have a young baby could really, really pull you thin, and most people might not even recommend it. But this is your situation now, right? This is the reality on the ground, and we all have to deal with the situation that we have on the ground.
Yeah.
So what I would say to you is that you might need to make some hard choices at this point.
Yeah.
And so this is really for you to go inside with your heart. If what really, really matters to you is being able to slow your life down a little bit so that you can spend more time with your baby, and then you might choose to go in the direction of more privates simply because that will be a higher hourly income and possibly an easier schedule, where you can schedule
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 privates back-to-back and have a good income for that day, rather than doing so many yoga classes to have perhaps a lower income and perhaps being more tired. And so that's a choice you might make. And in that case, given that you've just opened a studio, you would need to look, you know, long and hard at what you could do to support the studio, perhaps bringing in 1 or 2 other really good teachers to hold part of the weight of the studio.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you might decide that no, the income isn't, and slowing down your life isn't the most important thing, and you want to really, because work at this higher pace, because the truth is popping out new workshops and new events is high energy and will demand a lot of your time. That's a choice you're going to have to make.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it just seems like you've hit on so many of the things that I'm going through right now, and I'm just trying to hone in a little bit, but I might just need to give more time before I can hone in on it, you know.
Is there anything that I could offer that would help you in making that choice?
I think just the more I, you know, come into the teleclasses and the more I answer the questions in the journaling, I think it just, like, helps me organize the stuff in my head a little bit more and makes me feel confident about the direction that I'm going. And, you know, so I think everything that's happening is good, and just being able to talk about it probably with people who have a background in it, you know. So, yeah.
You're not alone. You're definitely not alone in feeling like you're kind of being worn thin and wanting to find a way to make it more peaceful and more easy for yourself. I totally get it.
Yeah.
So go ahead and post on the business.
Go ahead.
I said just go ahead and post on the site as you go through your thinking process in the next couple of weeks, or come back on the phone if you need help kind of deciding which direction to go next.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay, lots of love to you.
Oh, thanks. You too.
Hi, Gretchen.
Bye.
Okay, this is Demi in Grand Junction.
Hi.
Hi, Demi.
So I'm having a hard time formulating my question because it's so full of a lot of different things.
But I'll give it
my best
shot. That's pretty normal. You're in the right place.
That's good.
Yeah.
I loved going through the guidebook. It really helped me kind of narrow down some things. When I first got your email about this class, my main intent was to learn about how to be a better business person, because that's not at all my thing.
Right.
And I have this need to just give away stuff.
Yeah.
Like my time and my classes and my I've always been a giver, I guess, and I'm having a really hard time putting a price on what I do.
Mhm.
And so I'm really looking for, in addition to so many other things, my first thing I think I need to do is to really figure out I don't charge very little for my classes. So how I would like to increase the price, but I'm hesitant to increase the price.
Okay.
And so, you know, so some details of how to run a business. Is that something that we will get into in this course? In addition to all the other things that are so great.
Well, you know, anything that is not, you know, it's all fair game. So why don't we talk right now about what you need? And first of all, I'll just respond and acknowledge you for, you said you've always been a giver. And there's a really, really positive side to that. And it's really, really great to give. And in yoga, giving a lot can really, really benefit your business, and that's the whole energy of Lakshmi. So if you're giving, fantastic. And then we also need to set boundaries around the giving. When do you give and when do you stop giving, and ask people to step in and invest in the deeper levels of what you have to offer? And how are you planning with your giving for it to feed back and nourish your business? So it's like that river, right, that was in the first guidebook, and people come in the headwaters where there's free offerings, and then you show them how they can get more when they invest, and that you're guiding them into the deeper levels, and you're not giving the deeper levels away for free. So that is the way you start to grow into being a business person, is by planning what the deeper levels are and differentiating them from the free levels, and showing people why they want to go to the main part of the river, why they want to go into the ocean, and how much more benefit they will get once they invest, not really in you, but in themselves through that. So let me ask you, what are you currently charging?
I charge $8 a class, $8 a person per class. And I do it, I started at $5 a class, so I am better.
Good job.
As far as
And how long is the class?
I started at $5 a class. They're an hour and a half.
For 90 minutes. Okay. What would you like it to be?
Well, I don't know. Actually, it's $8 a class if they buy a punch card. And
okay.
It's $10 as a drop-in. And
okay.
What I'm okay with the price of the class, actually, because I teach in a little community center, and I don't have a real big overhead, and so I don't have a lot of expenses. But one thing that I'm really struggling with, because I've started it as I took a teacher training course. I mentioned this on the forum, so this is kind of a repeat for you probably, but just to review, I started when I was a high school teacher, and I took a teacher training class so that I could be a better yoga teacher to my high school students, because I was teaching some yoga to them, and I just wanted to make sure I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. And some of my friends said, why don't you teach here? I live in this tiny little community outside Grand Junction, Colorado. And they said, why don't you teach here? And I said, okay. And then I charged $5 a class. Then I started realizing that I would like to start taking more workshops, to get increasing my skills, so I needed more money. So I started increasing my prices, and it eventually came to $10 a drop-in and then $8 if they do a punch card. But I didn't do expiration dates on the punch card. So I had these people that would buy a punch card and then 2 years later come back and continue their punch card.
Right, right. So,
and
Demi,
so I'm just trying to
focus
go through this.
Demi, I'm going to focus here.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Doing great.
Okay.
First of all, I love how you got started. It's a great way. And I want to say that this is a process. It's totally fine for you to clarify your boundaries. So you're noticing that you want to tighten up and now have an expiration date. So it's totally fine to come back to your current students and say, here's a new boundary. And this will be helpful for anyone else because you might start with a procedure and a rules or how you do your fees, and then you might change your mind. And it's totally fine as you get clear, and this is part of the Durga energy because this is protecting your ability to keep teaching, to come back to your students and say, I need to add a time boundary on this. So the next time you purchase, it will be a six-month expiration for each punch card. And then what you do for the people that you didn't have that rule for previously, you're going to call them all back up and say, or send an email, I know that you purchased this, it was unlimited, I've needed to change it, it's now 6 month expiration. So if you do have any unlimited or whatever you decide it would be, Demi, you get back to them and just say, we're going to shorten it up. So, I'm going to give you all 6 months from now, from the date that I'm letting you know. And then in the future, whenever you sell a punch card, you say it's 6 months.
Okay.
How does that sound?
That sounds good.
We always get clearer as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally normal.
Yeah, and it's this whole thing with teaching my friends too.
That's a really difficult area, and I started that way too. A lot of yoga teachers start that way. And what you want to do is just as you grow beyond your friends, you can be friends with them. It's just when they come to your yoga class, you need to maintain clear boundaries that they're coming to your yoga class. This is a business. This is what it costs. And treat them exactly as you would any other non-friend client.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else?
Oh, there's all kinds of things, but that's a good start.
Well, great.
I have a lot of questions.
Come back on the phone. We may have time for more at the end. We'll see how we're doing. Come back on the phone, each week with a new question. It's great.
Okay. Thank you so much, Laura.
Okay, Demi. You're welcome. Okay. So, Kim.
Hi.
Hi. How can I help you?
Hi. Well, okay. Gretchen kind of asked pretty much what I was going to go into. It's that feeling spread too thin.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in my life, I'm actually a divorced mom. My kids are 12 and 10.
Okay.
So I have them part-time, you know, every other weekend and all of that. And and I'm still holding on to that because I was a stay-at-home mom. So, it's really hard to break out and try to teach evenings and weekends.
Okay. Okay.
And I feel like I know that I want to be efficient. I know that I want to reach more people. I have private clients. I have, four lessons a week. And I teach a couple classes. And, I'm just building it now. I've been doing this for a while, but I'm just building it now. And I just, if I'm running around driving all over the place, I don't want to own a studio right now. I just feel it's so inefficient, even with private lessons. I feel
you're doing all the private lessons in their home?
Yeah, I go to them. And they're pretty close. I've chosen people that were not too far away from me.
Okay.
They're lovely people. I feel very grateful to have them. But I just feel like, oh, my gosh, I want to reach more people.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, like workshops and, just bigger classes. And I just, for whatever reason, have not been able to market myself.
Okay.
I had one class going on Tuesdays and I did an evening, and it's like I have two friends that show up and that's it.
Okay.
I'm just breaking even.
Are you making any money with your yoga teaching, or you're breaking even meaning zero profit?
I meant breaking even on the Tuesday class.
Okay. For the rent.
But, yeah, I'm making some, yeah. And right now I'm in this a good position where I don't have to earn an income right now, but that soon will change. That'll change in about a year and a half.
Okay.
So I really need to get moving.
Okay, great. Well, this is great, and if you're willing, we could talk about this a little bit more, because this is a great example, I think, for everybody listening of the material in this unit, on this module. I'm just kind of hearing, do you have a specialization?
Well, that's the other thing. I trained in, three main things, and I feel like I'm all over the place. There are three areas that are true to my heart. I first was I trained with Yoga Kids in 2007.
Great, I know.
And was certified with them. And I have a real passion, really, for targeting the older kids, like the preteens and teens, and that is a very tough market. I've just known, the time, when do you do it, all that, trying to get them interested in it, things like that. I haven't tried that hard, though, but that's where I want to go with that.
Okay.
And women, just really working with women, I think I could define that maybe a little, maybe I could narrow that down a little bit, maybe women that are, moms or divorced women or, maybe a combination of all of that, just empowering women, because I did do a training for that.
Okay, great.
And then I did a training in Sedona in 2010 for Tantra.
Okay,
and
what kind of Tantra?
Well, you really, this is, it's based off of Margot Anand's Sky Dancing Tantra.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I've done workshops for just women. It doesn't have to be just couples.
Right. That's a sexual
And idea. I offered a Tantra couple workshop this weekend, and no one came. I live in the Midwest, a little shy about this stuff.
Are you shy, or are your people shy?
The people are shy, the men.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Okay. So Kim, this is beautiful, and I hear that it's tough right now. So I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings when I say it's beautiful. But this is exactly the situation that so many yoga teachers get into, And really, what I'm going to recommend to you is to pick one area that you are most passionate about, because you when you talk about spreading yourself too thin, you're not only spread too thin as far as the traveling and the time and not enough income in any one place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like really, for most yoga teachers, most of the income is going to come from that ocean. If you remember that page that I had with the empowered tiered business model?
Yes.
It sounds to me like most everything you're doing is in that middle range, the river range, and you're going to be constantly struggling for income as long as you stay in the river.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need to figure out which one thing you want to get really, really good at. You need to go into your ocean. And I don't hear that you've quite done that yet. Once you go into your ocean, you will be able to find the people who want to come there with you. Now, if you were to pick the tantric sexuality living in the Midwest, you might find that there's more of an obstacle, that it's harder to get people to get on the boat with you to go deep in that ocean. But you might say, you know what, I love this tantrism so much that I'm going to teach it on the internet or I'm going to travel. I actually believe that if you choose that as your ocean, you might have to pick a more difficult delivery mechanism, but you can still invite people into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to be honest with everyone on this phone, you know, two deep passions of mine are green yoga, the whole ecology, and Gretchen was talking about this. I'm right there with Gretchen. And the other is the women in yoga. And I found that it was harder to draw people into the deep, deep ocean for the ecology. There was more people who wanted to go into the women in yoga. Now, I really want to go back at one point and develop a very deep course on yoga and ecology. I'm not doing that this year, you know. So it's like making choices about what to do in what year. Part of it is based on your life circumstance. If you need to increase your income within the next 6 months to a year, you might not choose the niche that is going to be more difficult, which might be where you live, the tantrism.
Right.
Or might not, you know, might not be. But so I really encourage you to do some very deep reflection. Do some deep meditation. Go into prayer. Do all the journaling exercises in that guidebook.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to pick Yoga Kids, actually the interview with with Maggie Sky that I just did today, she became very successful with children.
Okay.
And so as soon as that goes up, listen to that interview. I hear what you're saying, that teens are a harder audience because they get it's harder to find them as far as their scheduling.
Absolutely.
I
their interest.
But
some of them are like, but there's a huge need.
There's a huge need, and once you get the right teens, they love it.
Yeah.
I've taught teen yoga. They love it. And it might be that you focus on teen girls, you know, and if you can get in and do some free workshops in the schools or free workshops in the yoga studios and get all the moms to invite their kids, if you're willing to be Durga and get out there and be passionate and, you know, do 50 free events in the next year, you will fill your practice. And what happens is once you narrow on one area, you can let go of the lower paying pieces. And as you get more and more full, you let go of the things that are lower income. So that class where you have two students and you're barely making your rent, you might say that you're letting go of that next week.
Yeah.
Right? And so you gradually fluff off, and maybe you give it to another teacher, a newer teacher, and you give them a gift of a small class, and you take on the bigger class.
Well, it does, and it's funny. I'm way back in the late 80s, I was a marketing major, but marketing and all of that is so different now, you know, selling. That's part of it, too. There's, like, that hidden fear that I don't want to oversell myself.
Yeah.
You know, it rubbed me the wrong way in my early 20s when I was selling copiers and retail and all of that. And it's like, okay, I don't want to be, you know, throwing this, you know, stuffing it down people's throats. I want, you know, and I know that you have to find your authentic voice for it to be real. And that's the only way I will do it. And I do.
Bring that question to next week's class. That is perfect material for our class on calling. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. I don't want to oversell myself is something that could possibly hold you back, and we need to differentiate between the type of selling you were doing before and your heart-based service now, okay? So let's look at that as well next week. And I look forward to hearing how this unfolds for you.
Thank you.
Keep coming on the call.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to go to Portland, Maine.
Hi, Laura.
Portland. Hi.
Can you hear me?
This? Yes, I can.
Yeah. This is Pam.
Hi, Pam. You posted online. Is that right?
I did.
Okay.
And I logged in the call late, so that's why I raised my hand.
Okay. Pam Jackson?
Right.
Great. And I'll just read what you wrote here. One question is around packaging private sessions. One of my ideas is to package 3 sessions on developing a home practice. I would love to encourage people to practice more regularly to receive more of the benefits of yoga. How specific are you in marketing wording? Develop different packages for each niche. Do you just do your marketing online, no written material? And I've done private sessions on a sliding scale in the past. What's the jump for me to package them and have a definite price? You talk about pricing. And also how you structured you want to do yoga and meditative writing, and I'd love to hear about that. Okay. So what I would recommend, Pam, is a minimum of 4 in a group pack in a package for private lessons.
Okay.
Because you can offer 1 price for a private, and then in order to get a discount, I really would recommend at least 4 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
In a package. And actually, I talk about this also on the phone with Maggie Sky, so you can listen to that. I used to do, when I was doing private yoga lessons, I would give a discount for 5 purchased together, and every time someone purchased 5. Now, as far as how do you market them, do you use different wording for each niche? That's a really interesting question. If you have 1 niche that you're focusing on, then you can choose the words that best resonate with that person. And probably if you have 1 niche that you're focusing on, you'll be doing that for your private sessions, you'll be doing that for your group classes, and you'll be doing that for your really deep, deep ocean offerings, your intensive trainings or your committed year-long program or your committed month-long program, whatever it is. So then you would really go into that. If you are, I think you're a studio owner, right, Pam?
Yes.
And I'm guessing that you teach more broadly to the community, or do you have a specialty within your studio?
I have both, but it's generally more broadly.
Okay. So then I would say if you were going to do marketing for material for the private sessions, you can keep it fairly broad. And what you can do is, I would recommend, if you are a studio, having a brochure or a flyer that tells people about the private sessions that you can have maybe at the front desk, that you can give people after a class, and every once in a while remind people that you're available for private sessions, and let them know what they would get out of a private session that they might not get out of a group session, which would be, you know, really focused attention for their specific needs. So you can go more in-depth and more focused, more targeted on what they need so they'll get the results much more quickly. Remind them about gifts. They can give gift certificates to their friends. Remind them at holiday times, birthday times.
Right.
Anniversary times, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Grandparents' Day, and so then in your flyer you might say some of the benefits that they might get out of a private session with you. And it could be a package for creating a home practice. Some people are excited about creating a home practice. I found that some people, they just want to feel more peaceful, more restful, or they want to work on a specific issue that they have, like back pain, shoulder pain, or they want private sessions before they start group classes, or they're getting ready for surgery. So it could be a lot of different things that bring them into private sessions.
Okay. So, but focus the marketing around all of those. But that was my question, was if I'm doing a home practice package of private sessions, then I could really right about what home practice would give you. And then if I have a package around, you know, recovering from an injury, that's, I was kind of thinking, oh, geez, do I have to market to every different niche there?
What you can do is you might outline the, you know, the types of situations
yeah.
under which someone would choose private lessons. You might choose private lessons if you've just had an injury and you're recovering, if you've just had surgery or you're preparing for surgery, if you want to start a home practice, and you could list that out and then list out the benefits of doing a daily yoga practice.
Right. Okay. That's what I've done in the past, is made it relatively general. But I haven't gotten that much, you know, I got some private clients, but not a lot. And so I think I need to really expand my marketing on it.
I'm going to guess that your marketing, this is what I see in a lot of yoga teachers' marketing, you're using the words that you use and not the words that your clients resonate with. I see
right.
this all the time. And it's very common for yoga teachers to write this very beautiful brochure that is teacher speak.
Yeah.
So most teachers, when I see their brochures, I recommend they take out stuff that they have in too much words and a lot of words that people don't resonate with. So you listen to your clients, and if you're not sure, take a new student to your studio and ask them what drew them to your studio and write
right.
down the words they use. Those are the kinds of words you can put in your marketing. Do
yeah.
not take your most advanced student. Do not take the student who has been with you for 3 years. And, you know, take a new student. They're
right.
simple, everyday language. Don't write like a yoga teacher training brochure. They won't relate to it. So what I would recommend
I'm
do.
Doing
go
that,
ahead.
But I don't think I'm doing it enough.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What you can do is actually post your brochure on the site, on the forum, and get feedback
oh, okay.
from the people in this group. Mm-hmm. And you can say, feedback requested, brochure for private classes.
Great.
And then we'll be able to answer your question. And if you do that, I can respond to it perhaps on the next call or maybe on the forum. We'll see. But do post it.
Okay, thank you.
And you said you're interested in doing yoga and meditative writing as a monthly committed program.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, I love offering yoga and meditation. The combination of those two things has really been wonderful for me, and it's very nourishing to offer it in a retreat or workshop format.
Mm-hmm.
And so your idea around having a committed group got me thinking more in that direction. So I'm still thinking about it, but it's like having a yoga practice and then doing some meditation and then letting some meditative writing or journaling come out of your practices.
Beautiful.
With led questions sometimes. It's just been a deep process for a lot of people whenever I've offered it.
Right. So absolutely. There's a couple ways you could do it. One is you could start a group that was going to be an ongoing group where they would commit to, say, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in there would be committed. And then you develop also a real feeling of cohesion among the participants. Or
right.
you could offer it monthly. You know, let's say the first Saturday of the month or the last Sunday of the month or something like that. And there could be one fee if they were to come as a drop-in, and there could be another significantly lower fee if they were to commit to a series of 6 or 12 or 4.
Right. Great.
I personally love the deep committed groups, and so I have a women's wisdom and yoga circle that I lead. I'm about to change it to Blissful Goddess Circle. and that that's a committed group. You know, you can visit once, and then you decide if you're in the group. It's 2 hours, and you commit for 6 months. And I've had that group going 2 years. It's really deep, and I did it many years ago. It's a very, very powerful thing to have that type of commitment. You go deep with the students. It's so satisfying.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. All right, Pam, stay in touch. Let us know how this goes.
I will. Thanks a lot, Laura.
Okay, great. All right. So let's see. Constantine in Michigan.
Oh, that it? Am I live?
You're live.
Okay, this is actually Kelly from Michigan.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How can I help you?
Well, I actually had posted some of my questions on the forum, and just a couple of things. I wanted to know, like, what would be some of the best ways, just from your experience, for yoga teachers as we're planning classes, as we're teaching, not to feel either overwhelmed or underwhelmed, because I've dealt with that where it's just like you have so much stuff going on and teaching people and you start to take on the energy, and it's just like, what are some just easy ways to kind of be able to release that? But two, maybe think when things are not going the way that we kind of want them to, or we're trying to get our programs to take off, what are just some things maybe that you do just to really stay motivated and in a good space?
Okay, great. Kelly, I just found your post. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I love your enthusiasm. It's great. Okay. You have 9 questions here. So, okay, we'll see what we can do, all right? First of all, I feel your enthusiasm. And let me ask you a question first. How long have you been teaching, Kelly?
I have been teaching for 8 months.
Okay. All right. So in response to the first question about how to really maintain your focus and stay calm when you're starting something, is that I find it's important to start one, for me, Kelly, I start one thing at a time.
Okay.
This might be hard to do when you're new because it feels like there's so many things to do, and there's so much to get started all at once. But what I find is I focus all my energy. I get really clear on what I'm starting, and I try not to launch more than one new thing per month, and that's even fast.
Okay.
And then I put everything I'm doing, all my heart, all my planning, into that one thing. And now for where I am, you know, having been teaching 16 years, I want pretty much everything I'm doing to be pretty darn close to that ocean.
Okay.
And pretty deep. But at the same time, there will always, when I'm launching one new thing, there will I will always keep in mind the entire river. So there will be the free pieces that feed into the river, that feed into the ocean.
Okay.
But it's one path, it's one group of people that I'm leading through this path. So then the free offerings are just a small taste, a small bite that invites people into the entry level programs, that invites people into the full ocean, the full depth.
Okay.
And so for me, by focusing on one river at a time, you could say, or one pathway at a time, I'm able to stay focused and not get too distracted. Now, there might be different pieces. There might be an email. There might be something with print. There might be phone calls. There might be individual outreach, group outreach related to that one thing. But, you know, just maintain time for your own practice. Maintain your own self-care and good sleep. If I get enough sleep, I have great energy the next day. I love my work. My work feeds me, and so I get joy. I mean, I have to tell you all, getting ready for this call, I was reading the Ning site here and reading the questions for today's call, and I was just like hopping out of my seat. I was like, I can't wait to get on the phone and talk to these gals. So my work feeds me, but I take time to sleep, if I don't sleep well, I'm not necessarily a happy cookie the next day. I sleep, I exercise, I do my yoga, I meditate, I walk. And so that keeps me calm. And I have to be careful not to take on too many new projects at once. If I do, I get overwhelmed. Does that help with that?
That does. It. Those are all things that, I kind of had to deal with, and I'm the same as you. If I have not had enough sleep or just even having my personal practice, if I miss it for a day, things just tend not to go well.
Sure. Okay, let me go to some of your other questions here. You have great questions. What keywords are best to use when promoting yoga classes or events? Do you mean keywords for websites?
For websites or even putting on, brochures for doing things locally, just some words that, draw people in, make them comfortable, and then I know there are some words that you don't want to use.
Okay, so the keywords will depend on your specialty and your area and your target population, who you want to work with. What's your demographic? If you're working with younger people, if you know that your niche is like women in their 20s and their 30s, you're going to use really different words than if your niche is women in their 50s and their 60s. Okay? So these exercises that are on page 12 of the guidebook, the ideal client interviews, taking one of your best students and seeing the transformation they got, recording words that describe the transformation you offer. I keep a list of the best words that I want to use. And it really is not going to be the same. You cannot say that there's a set of keywords. If you, Kelly, are going after students who they really just want to get healthy, they want to lose weight, they want a firm butt, they want those tight abs, those will be very different words than if you're going after, women going through menopause who they just want to, stop feeling frazzled, they want to relax, they want to get their energy back, they want to rest and feel nourished. Those are very different words. So you need to find the best words for your target audience.
Okay.
And how long should free classes or events last? There's no rule, but often, if you give one first free class, it would be the same length as the paid classes. And so if it's an evening event, like I put a YouTube video up about how to give a free event that might be like with the movie Yoga Woman, that could be a 2 or 3 hour event because the movie is, I believe, 2 hours, and you need to introduce yourself and introduce your business that's sponsoring this event. So in that case, it could be longer, but, they could even just be an hour. If you go and you do a class at somebody's workplace or maybe for teachers after school, that might be 45 minutes or an hour. You want time to do the yoga and time to talk to them about the benefits and encourage and invite them to sign up and go deeper with you.
Okay.
Have you had more success offering classes, events online or in person? It really depends. If you're going to be offering classes, paid classes in person, you should do free events in person. If your paid classes will be online, you want your free events to correspond. Okay?
Okay.
So you wouldn't, so in general, now there are some exceptions to that, and we'll talk about that in the class on Lakshmi.
Okay.
Is it better to blog or tweet? It depends on your people. Are they going to be reading your blog, or do they read tweets? Now, I've heard that for yoga teachers, tweets are not that valuable. I use Twitter only when I was doing the Divine Feminine Yoga Telesummit, and other than that, I really haven't been big on Twitter. So, but I do have a blog, and basically when I write an email post, part of it goes into the blog.
Okay.
The blog can also work if you're doing more online stuff, and we'll talk about this in the class on Lakshmi. Is it better for me to refer to myself as a yoga and wellness coach instead of instructor? Well, Kelly, this depends on how, if you are a wellness coach and you want to give private wellness lessons or private wellness coaching, then I would call yourself some type of a coach.
Okay.
Is that your situation?
Well, I know we had talked about before not using an instructor, and overall just through working both in yoga, and I have about 8 years experience working prior to and like in the health and wellness and beauty and spa type industry. I just honestly feel myself coaching people through stuff. And even with my students, you know, I mean, they're learning and I'm teaching, but it's just so much coaching, and I find myself, you know, going beyond, or they're calling me, or they're like, I have this going on just beyond even the yoga. So I'm like, maybe I am the coach instead of the instructor on the team.
Sure. Do you have training in coaching?
I do not. My training was in yoga and Ayurveda, and then I've just also, I have a license as a nail tech, and like I said, working in spas, and then I've just done speech classes. I have business management that I studied for 3 years through university.
Okay, cool. It's great that you have such a variety of skills. What you might want to consider a coaching training, if that's something you want to definitely do, but I don't think it's necessary if you're finding that people are already coming to you. If you don't have a coaching training, you might not want to use the word coach. You might want to use the word mentor or guide or expert. Look at those list of words that's on page, let me see here in your guidebook. Let's see. Yeah, page 13, there's some possible words that you could use. I don't believe that there are strong regulations for coaching where they would come after you if you use the word coach, but I just feel that people might assume that you had had formal coach training if you were to use the word coach. And so if you know that you want to do private, you know, support for people in the area of wellness and beauty, then creating your own niche and creating a word, creating a title that would have some of the words of the, you know, these people who are coming to you who say, wow, I love what you're doing and I want to call you and I want to ask you things. Take one or two of them in your mind and write about them. Use those exercises that are in your guidebook. What are they looking for? What are the benefits they want? What are the results they want? What worries them? And pull out some of the most juicy words for them and put those into your title.
Okay.
And if you come to the retreat, we can talk about designing a package for them and designing your, because we're going to be looking at really, really designing. And also when we talk about your signature program, that might be something we can work on in that unit, which is the Saraswati unit. As far as a video, pick when you want to know a hot topic. We'll talk about this in the unit on Saraswati, but you can just get started thinking about one question someone has asked you after class. Answer that question in a video.
Okay.
So I think that's good for now, Kelly.
That is. Thank you. And I did purchase or, you know, reserve my ticket. So I do look forward to meeting everyone and just for that opportunity.
Fantastic. I look forward to meeting you, too.
All right. Thank you.
Glad you're coming. Okay, great. Bye-bye, Kelly.
Bye.
Okay. More to come. There's so much richness here. Okay. This says Indianapolis. Hello, Indianapolis.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Shirley in Indianapolis.
Hi, Shirley. We said hello
Hi.
At the beginning. Great. Okay. So, how can I help you?
Well, I was daydreaming, thinking about all the other questions, but my original, I guess, issue is I'm an older teacher. I'm 58. I've been teaching on and off for 20 years, but I've kind of discovered my niches teaching at the cancer support community of Central Indiana and really enjoy that. So I tend to teach a very gentle class, kind of around, you know, whatever issues, you know, the students, participants are dealing with. So I guess I have a problem with I started asking people, and of course being in the Midwest, you know, you have that kind of, people don't really know what yoga is, the general public. And so I started asking just random people what they thought yoga, what that meant to them, what thought came in their head, and you can't believe the different answers that I've got.
That's great.
So, I guess my first question is, as an older teacher, I can't do the things, postures that I used to be able to do, but I still want to be able to teach maybe a more advanced class if needed, you know, where I think that's where the people expect from a class. But do you do that? Do you just, you know, honor your own deal, or, you know, try to, from a marketing standpoint, you know, do I need to go to the gym and start working out so I can do more, you know, advanced postures? I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but...
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. That's a great question. That's a great question, Shirley. Well...
I mean,
you want to hear what I think about that?
I mean, yes, I do. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to say it depends. It depends on you and what is really, really true for you. Now, if you told me, this, I don't quite hear you saying this, but if you were to say to me, I love vigorous yoga, I love the hardest yoga poses, and yeah, my body doesn't really do them anymore, but they've always been my passion, then I would say, Shirley, stick with your passion, even if your body isn't doing them anymore. I mean, certainly there's ballet teachers who stick with teaching, you know, really young, dynamic students when they're, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, not doing that anymore, right?
Right.
But if you're doing it out of a sense of obligation, or if you're doing it out of a sense of that you should teach harder classes in order to maintain your student base, I'm going to guess that your energy will be a little bit off. And it will not resonate with people. People will feel that your heart is not in it. So I think what you need to look at is, where is your heart? This is the Durga energy. When you step into your teaching with that energy of Durga, everything else falls into alignment. So if your heart is calling you to gentle yoga, to senior yoga, to cancer yoga, to yoga for women, you know, going through menopause, or women in the second half of life, let that be your truth. And my goodness, there are such a need in that age range. And once, if you decide that that is your specialty and that is what you really love, you can succeed there. So how does this sound?
That's really what I found, and especially with the cancer participants, that they, you know, either a part of them is missing, you know, figuratively and literally, that they need to, you know, reattach to in some way. So, you know, teaching a really strong mountain pose is, you know, with dignity and steadfastness, you know, is very, has really rung true to a lot of those people. So, unfortunately, a lot of the people that are in them are, you know, my age or older, so it does ring true. That rings very true. But I do enjoy a vigorous yoga class, but I tend to pay for it in the days following.
Well, let me ask you something, Shirley. Why do you say, unfortunately, a lot of the people are in my age range?
Well, I meant they have cancer. They tend to be, old, you know, an older person.
Okay.
So the people that come to my class tend to be, you know, an old, over 50.
And how do you feel about working with that age group?
I started out teaching a senior class. That's how I started out 20 years ago. And I loved it. It was the best thing ever. What a great group of people. I had 70 people in my first yoga class at Oasis. So I love that. That's what I do. But when I have opportunities to teach, just, you know, through the grapevine, they tend to, you know, I guess it's what you've talked about earlier to other people. You find your niche, and that's what you do. But I would enjoy teaching a more vigorous class. But I don't know if other people feel this way. But if there are postures you can't do, it's hard to teach, for me anyway. So I guess I should just let that go.
Shirley, I would say if you really, really want to teach a vigorous class, go for it. And you can have a younger student who can do all the postures be your assistant and demonstrate them. You can describe it. There's a little bit where I hear some kind of apologizing for the fact that
I do, yeah.
Specialize in, that's going to suck your energy. So I would encourage you to release the apologizing. I would encourage you to actually do some work between now and when we have our next call on what is behind the apologizing. Because personally, I love it that you teach women with cancer. My mother had cancer. I'm like, please go teach my mother this. You know, it's like it's such a need. I don't feel any kind of negativity, and I'm going to guess most of the women listening to you and all your students. So there's something there to let go of, to just embrace that. As you said, the dignity of it.
Right. It is.
Okay.
I find that that's what people need. Yes. Thank you.
All right. So you are needed. You're doing a beautiful service. And certainly if you want to teach a vigorous class, go for it. And if you don't, just enjoy what you're doing with grace, because I think you're doing a great service. Okay.
Well, I can assure you, they teach me a lot more than I teach them.
That's when you know you're doing your best work with your best people. That's great. I love to hear that. I feel that way, too. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
Okay. Mary, your hand is not up, but I'm going to just unmute you because I want to go to your questions here that you put
yes.
in the... Hi, Mary. All right, I'm going to let you put on the forum. And so thrilled to be part of this forum. Thank you so much, and the beauty of this program, your inspiration, great. My passion for the last 10 years, women's health, yes. Pre-postmenopause, prenatal, arthritis, fibromyalgia, depression, and stress. Taking the program is to reinvent my offerings professionally, focus on a specific specialty. Do you have an idea which specialty you would pick?
Well, I'm still working on that, but I love Leslie Howard's website.
Okay. Great. So maybe the pelvic floor?
Yes. Well, I personally had some issues with my kidney about 2 years ago and learned from a urologist how many women at the age of 50, over half of them have some prolapse, something in their uterine or the bladder or something. So I really have focused on teaching the pelvic floor muscles, but it looks like Leslie Howard has taken it immensely further. So that's an area that I'm...
That would be a great specialty. That would be a great specialty.
Yeah,
okay.
Question.
Mary, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Sorry, I was using a headset, but it kind of is intermittent. Is this better?
It is.
Okay, so I guess my question was really about, because I've taken sort of a 2-year hiatus from actually teaching and focusing more on massage, reintroducing myself, you know, I looked at your credentialing and, you know, some of the things that you've gone through, and I wondered how important you have found that to be as you have now, you know, gone through your experience and now relaunching what you are doing today.
Yeah. Everybody's path is different. And certainly, you know, I have a PhD in religion
right.
and philosophy. the vast majority of teachers do, yoga teachers do not need a PhD. So this is, I am way overeducated for being a yoga teacher. I happen to love school. I happen to love graduate school. My family has PhDs. I actually had an astrologer recommend to me that I would always be happier and more fulfilled if I had gotten that advanced education. I've always been a kind of nerdy, brainy person. I'm working to grow out of that and be more embodied, and yoga has really, really helped me with that. So that's just was my karma in life, to follow that path. Now, has it helped me with what I'm doing? It has led to my unique path, because for the master's work, I did the research in women in yoga. And for the dissertation, I did the research on yoga and ecology, which led to the Green Yoga Association being founded, and tremendous amount of work and service there. And then I taught some graduate courses in yoga philosophy. I facilitated the graduate program in yoga philosophy at California Institute of Integral Studies. Could I ever have done that work without a PhD? Not very well, but the income was incredibly low in those.
Right.
Just to be honest, if you know, with a PhD, there's so many people who are in humanities, they're not employed in the area of their PhD, so I don't recommend people run out and get a PhD unless they're totally, totally drawn to that. It's a ton of work, can be very expensive. Yeah. For me, it was my karma, and it has all added up to now I'm teaching yoga philosophy online to yoga teachers. I think many, many yoga teachers would do very well with a college education. You don't even need a college education to be a yoga teacher. I think that the college education can help you to with the things like the writing, the marketing, you know, being a literate conversational person can help, but it's not a requirement. So some people, a master's degree is helpful. Then you can combine an area of study with yoga. Is there a personal? Is there an area of study you're wanting to do?
Yes, my goal is yoga therapy.
Okay.
You know, and I've been working with bodies really as long as I've been a teacher.
Right.
But I see such a vast need of it. But it's really taking the time and study to get the credential. Even though I know a lot about yoga therapy, I have not actually studied as a yoga therapist, but everything that I've done is gearing me towards that area, because
so
I still have to work, so taking time out to get that credential, I think it will eventually happen, but it's all timing, because I still have children at home, too, that I'm caring for, so.
Right. So this was another part of your question in the on the forum, was how to balance going to school while working. And so I was a part-time yoga teacher for many years while I was in graduate school. It took me 9 years to go through graduate school, doing both the MA and the PhD. And they were hard years as far as on my family. I was in a different marriage at that time. And I don't have children. It's a lot of work. So I had a part-time income teaching yoga. For part of the time, I was teaching in the public schools. I had a previous teaching credential. So a part of the year, I was running a conflict resolution program with children in the public schools. And so I had some income from that. That was part-time, about half-time. And then part of the time I was doing some work with Green Yoga Association. It was quite low pay, like less than a graduate assistant would be. But I swung it, you know, because I was passionate about it. I really wanted to do the study, and so I made it work. It wasn't easy financially.
No. Right, but it seems to me, at this time, things are just happening that are opening some obvious doors that you're basically telling me this is the path I need to take. So I was really just interested in hearing your insights and your personal experience and your process.
Yeah. Did it help what I just shared?
Yes, Yes, I mean, I know there's lots of hard work that I need to put into, but that's part of why I'm participating in the program. Really, the business model that you have basically published that this is going to help us create and the process we take, I think, is exactly what I need right now. So I'm very excited. And I also have just booked myself to join the group in Florida. So.
Yay, I look forward to meeting you. And I want to say one more thing about the yoga therapy and getting additional training, because I have, yes, along the way done additional training, the integrative yoga therapy, the 500-hour. You know, started with the 200-hour, added the 500. But I would say, as far as the marketing and developing your niche, you can be doing that now, even before you go through training, because the trainings might give you quite a bit more technical understanding of yoga therapy. They very often do not help with the marketing and developing your work. And so, and they don't necessarily work on the whole pieces of the confidence and the self-doubts that might be holding you back, which we're going to look at next week in the module on Kali. And so what I really encourage you to do is right now start with and get experience in and get your, it sounds like you already are, but the niche that you really want to be developing. And then what will happen is later when you do the yoga therapy training, if you decide to do that, you will be applying every lesson, every training that you get right back into your teaching, into your marketing, actually. And so if you're clear that you want to work on, you know, the female pelvic floor or female, you know, gynecological issues or prolapsed, uterus, prolapsed bladder, all the whole, and that actually feeds into a lot of things. It can feed into back pain for women. And so if you want to work on just the whole pelvic area, the female pelvis and the female belly, there's a lot there that you could become a specialist in. And you, the thing about yoga therapy is not currently licensed or even registered. They're just developing standards now for yoga therapy that will be coming out soon. But you can say you specialize in women's health or women's, you know, pelvis issues or back issues or...
Well, that was the other question, and then I can we can end my discussion. But the Yoga Alliance registration, I mean, I kept it up for very long, and then I took a break because I had a child about 4.5 years ago. And I just sort of, you know, aside from a small private group of women who I taught for many years, I just kind of, you know, was a stay-at-home mom for a while. And then I shifted my energy to be a massage therapist more, and then just kind of took a break and was a student of yoga for the last 2 years. But it's really my passion. So I am, because I don't have certain credentials, credentialing seems important to me, but I don't know that it's necessarily important elsewhere. I've always, the Yoga Alliance credentialing. I mean, I'm very experienced, but my
Here's the thing about that. You would absolutely need it if you wanted to offer a teacher training that would offer a Yoga Alliance certified teacher or registered teacher training. They don't offer licensing. They simply offer a registry. If you're teaching privately, if you're teaching in a studio that does not mind whether or not you're Yoga Alliance registered, if you're teaching at a gym or private lessons, you do not need to be Yoga Alliance registered.
I really want to work in a more of a mainstream healthcare avenue. So I just, because I need that more stable environment is my, at least for the short term. I still want to have my own business, but I feel that that's kind of where I've been the most comfortable.
What kind of places? Hospital.
Well, I've worked in rehabilitative wellness centers attached to hospitals, and because I've done the independent yoga teaching, and it is a big struggle. And I'm turning 50 this year, so I want something that's more structured and stable, and more predominantly during the day. And I think occasionally offering the workshops, because I know that's really the cream of income source.
It can be if it's part of your river. If the rehab hospital clients are feeding into that ocean of the workshops, then yes. But if you have to do separate marketing for workshops, then you might be swimming upstream to not already be flowing people into the river, into your ocean, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I mean, it's just an area that I've been sitting on for the last year in my mind, processing, but that's kind of where I see my beauty happening, because I've been in a rural environment and now I'm in the city. So talking about the 10,000 population, it's amazing to finally see hospitals recognizing it more, but it's been a slow process here.
Well, good for you. I want to really acknowledge you for clarifying the hours you want to work, the time of day, and the environment. That's really, really important to be clear on where you want to teach and when and how. So congratulations to you for that, Mary.
Thank you. But it is definitely a much more competitive marketplace, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm facing, you know, teachers with a lot more credentials, who are much younger than I am, but whether they have the same vast experience is another question.
That's right. So when you go out to promote yourself, and we'll talk about this, we're going to talk about your bio next week and the whole Lakshmi energy, it's just standing in the power of your experience and your knowledge. So for each teacher is going to have what differentiates them. And for you, if it's your experience, just standing in the power of that and believing in that. Okay? So we will talk about that more. Good talking
Great.
With you, Mary.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I'm just going to go over to the webcast right before we close here and see what the question is. I think there's a question here from the webcast, and then we'll refresh this. Okay. So, okay, Annette. Hi, Laura. I found a theme when doing the exercises. It seems to be all having to do with physical fitness, health, and wellness, i.e. self-empowerment, positive thinking, healthy eating, addictions, depressions, physical conditions such as healing back pain. How can I narrow it to one? I also feel stuck between letting go of that feeling of security in a 9-to-5 job and grasping the idea of starting my own business. Okay, let me start with the second one first. Yeah, letting go of a 9-to-5 job is a difficult one. I read somewhere once that if you're going to do that, you want to have 2 years' income saved. 2 years' income saved. That's a lot. So if you have a 9-to-5 job, one thing to do is to start teaching yoga classes on the side, get experience. And after you have some experience, find the niche that you really want to work in, and you do have many here. Pick perhaps one or perhaps a few that really relate to each other and are well connected, and go with that. And as it grows, as you add more classes, you might be able to find a job. And this is what I did. I went to half-time. Instead of 9-to-5, I went to half-time other jobs. And then gradually, you will know when you can let go of that 9-to-5, and you may never choose to let go of it. For some people, yoga stays a hobby or an extra, and that's totally respectable. If you are going to let go of the 9-to-5, you might want to do it gradually unless you have another source of income, unless you have really strong savings or another person in your family who's willing to support you while you build your yoga business. So it's a personal decision, and there's a lot to weigh. As far as finding which niche from these many you've mentioned here, Annette, I would perhaps teach a sample class in each area, perhaps visit some classes in each area, perhaps start working with private clients in each area, and see which you love. Where is your passion? Also, look at your personal story. Which do you have the greatest personal life experience? Either from your own life or someone close to you. Those things can guide you in a direction, and I often find that sometimes the niche will catch you by surprise, and then you can just go with it. I hope that helps. If not, come on the call the next time. Okay. Hello, someone from Denmark. Great. Inara, hi. And Dita asks about the retreat. Yeah, you do need to be at the retreat in order to, you know, to receive what we're doing there. So if you're really interested, come on over. You can extend your stay in Florida. You can go on vacation. You can stay at the Discover Yoga Center. It's only like $30, $35 a night during the week in their dorms. And you can take a class a day. So it's a beautiful place. Okay, Lakshmi said she was hearing some static on the calls. If anyone else is hearing static, please let us know. And then Angela from Alberta says, after our class on Thursday, I asked past participants of my yoga and journal writing retreat to tell me why they came and what they gained so that I could use their language. Beautiful. I'll post those as well for Laura and others to provide feedback. Beautiful. Yes, Angela, that's a great thing to do. Ask your clients for feedback and use it actually in your future marketing. Now, be careful that you're not using words that are too advanced, that are the words that you can get great marketing language from your past clients, and you also want to go to new clients as well and see what they're looking for, because that'll be possibly a different language. Okay, thank you, everybody. It's been wonderful being with you here, and I'm just going to sit down for a moment and ground into my blessings for this group, for this class. And I encourage you to take some time to write down and journal on what you got out of this. Probably some of the questions that were answered were very relevant to you. Maybe one or two really stuck out for you. And I encourage you to write down the insights, the ahas you got. You can post them on the forum. I'll start a string for that. But also, just for yourself, post what you got out of the class. And then set aside some time to follow up on the insights, any journaling you want to do, writing you want to do, outreach you want to do, a new class, something you're going to let go of. I'm just going to breathe and be with you all for one more minute here and just hold space for see what has really arisen for you, and I'm going to see what has really arisen for me. I'm sitting here breathing. So what I'm getting is the rainbow. I'm getting all the colors of the rainbow, the seven colors and all the colors in between, and the beautiful richness that is represented in our class, the new teachers, the more experienced teachers, the younger teachers, the more maturing teachers, the middle teachers, and how we represent this beautiful, beautiful rainbow together. Gals, we are the rainbow. The world needs each one of us to step forward with our unique hue and shine that hue. Just let it radiate so that all of our beauty, and we're serving all the different students who need the yoga we have to offer. So everybody go out, radiate, shine. Durga loves all the colors of the rainbow. Every single color can radiate with the power of Durga. And I look forward to talking with you on our next training call. Many blessings.